Let's get ready to rumble!
Hello, one and all. We're back with Bunce's Boxing Podcast. First of all, a little apology. We were supposed to do one last week. Technical gremlins got in the way. That's all I can tell you. Any more than that would just be boring you. But I'm pleased to say that Bunce is with us this week to have a look at Juan Manuel Marquez versus Timothy Bradley, and a few fights in the offing, Bunce. Not least a huge date for Amir Khan, should it happen.
Yeah, well, the Khan thing will happen. We've been talking about this for three or four months. Sadly, and it's a bit unfortunate, he's not going to fight for the world welterweight title in the interim. He's not going to fight Devin Alexander in December, which of course makes all the sense in the world, because you'd be risking $8 or $9 million payday against Mayweather for less than $1 million against Alexander. And I've got to tell you, he starts as an underdog in both of those fights. So it makes sense. So there's lots of moral outrage, but that's from people who this morning are leaving their houses and going to work. And a little bit of it is a bit of jealousy. Amir Khan is only doing what thousands of boxers have been doing for about the last 140 years. He's making the most of an opportunity that has landed in his lap.
What is he to do, Bunce? Say no.
That's the thing. Flip it over.
It's not him. He's not Chase Mayweather, has he? It's not like he's Chase Mayweather. Mayweather obviously thinks, well, this is another one I can rack up, you know, in this big fight deal that I've got, and I can earn some money from this.
Well, he's got four fights left on this Showtime deal. My gut feeling is he'll have one more after that, some kind of glorious goodbye, all to be renegotiated, so to speak. That's the standard practice. And he's got to look at who's available at light welterweight, lightweight coming up, welterweight, light middleweight, and even middleweight coming down. And let's say at the moment there's 10 or 15 people in that mix. Okay, and it includes fantasy fights like Manny Pacquiao finally winning a couple and fighting him. It includes fights that no one wants to see, which is Mayweather against someone like Devin Alexander or Tim Bradley, who we're going to talk about in a moment. Okay, so if you look at that list that's on a table in Leonard Ellerby, that's Mayweather's top man's office, Amir Khan is not only on that list, he's on the top half of that list. He's a former world champion. He's never been in a bad fight. He's never failed to entertain. The Americans like him. He won't be Ricky Hatton. He won't take 30,000 people to Las Vegas. But you know what? In May, it's a fantastic time. It's far enough away from Christmas. It's far enough away from the summer. You might just find that a lot of people, a lot of Brits are going, I haven't been to Vegas for years. Don't be at all surprised if Khan suddenly puts 4,000 or 5,000 people on the floor in Vegas. And what they do to Brits is they literally drink the casinos dry.
Yeah, they love it in Vegas when the Brits come over, don't they? Yeah, definitely. That's it's slightly disappointing. There's no reason why he should here, Bunce. I'm just talking from a kind of, you know, a dream wish list. It's disappointing that Mayweather wouldn't come here and do it. That'd be another tick on Mayweather's box, you know, the list of why he will be remembered as an all-time great. Going out of your comfort zone and going to... They would fill Wembley easily, wouldn't they?
Yeah, it would fill Wembley, it would fill the Millennium. And I think part of the reason why he's not that bothered about that, I mean, there's all sorts of tax reasons and just comfort zone reasons. And bear in mind, he loves his comfort zone. He drives to the MGM for his big fight, where he's going to make 40-odd million, in his own car. He leaves his house, he gets in his car, he drives through the Las Vegas streets, parks up at the MGM, walks into the changing room. Now, he's a man that I think loves his creature comfort, and he's got an awful lot of them. Okay, so that's one of the reasons I don't think we'll see him here. Even though I think genuinely he would like to come, he'd like to come here on a talking tour. But the other reason I don't think we'll see him here is that he's measuring himself against the welterweights and the light middles and the light welters from 25 years ago. Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran and Tommy Hearns. He's measuring himself against them. They're the only guys that stand between him in theory and the top two or three or four or five of all time. And none of those guys had a big... I know Montreal, maybe, but none of those guys had a Rumble in the Jungle, a Thriller in Manila. So he doesn't have to have a massive 70,000 European fight to say, well, I can tick that off because Sugar Ray did that. I can tick that off because Roberto Duran did that. No, he doesn't have to do that.
Bunty, it's sad news, but in a sense, but good news in another way, that that Frank Maloney has retired from boxing. 30 years in the business, manager, promoter. You've had lots and lots of dealings with Frank. Just give us a minute on what he's given to the sport and why he probably should retire now as well, by the way.
Well, he's almost given his life. You know, he's had several heart problems caused by the ups and extreme downs of boxing. He discovered one of his fighters hanging from a ceiling a couple of years ago, a good fighter called Darren Sullivan. He's been shafted in various other deals. He's been put out to pasture. He's been frozen out. He's lost contracts here. He's lost contracts there. And I'll be honest with you, he has been having that kind of torrid affair with the professional boxing business for 30 years. You know, there was no, and this is not a slight on any present promoters, but Frank Maloney turned pro at such a low level that it's quite impossible for people to imagine that. Most modern boxing fans remember him in his suit from 20 years ago, 18 years ago with Lennox, 10 years ago with Lennox Lewis. Then they remember him over the last 7 or 8 or 9 years being basically a voice for hire. And then the man who guided David Price expertly to the first Tony Thompson defeat. And let's get it right. If David Price had come through that, it may have been David Price in the ring in 6 or 7 months with a Klitschko, as opposed to David Price trying to pick up a career that took, you know, two beatings that have shattered it. Frank Maloney was, and I hate to use this expression, but you've got to, he was old school. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll take you back to shows in the mid-80s, and if you knew the ins and outs of tiny shows at tiny, tiny venues in South London, you would think it was some sort of sport on a parallel universe. It wasn't. Maloney had a finger and a toe in just about every single aspect of the game. And he will retire, and you know what? In a year's time, you'll see him, and he'll look healthier, and he'll be happier. And if I'm not mistaken, they'll be talking about a comeback. Because you know what? At the end of the day, he was a good little fighter, and that's how he is.
Fantastic. Let's have a look at the big fight this weekend. It's Juan Manuel Marquez versus Timothy Bradley for the WBO welterweight title that Bradley holds. This is at the Thomas & Mack in Vegas. Juan Manuel Marquez barely needs an introduction, does he? Won 55 fights, 40 of them by stoppage. He's lost 6 times and drawn once. And I mean, you know, if you're a boxing fan, you don't really need me to start listing the opponents this 40-year-old has faced in his career. But if you're not, then, you know, Manny Pacquiao, Katsidas more recently, Floyd Mayweather, of course, taught him a boxing lesson because of the difference in weight and everything else. Juan Diaz and Marco Antonio Pereira, of course. Pacquiao again in 2004, that fantastic run of fights that they had. And he finally put that to bed. I was watching the Ringside program and... there's a great comment made on there, which was like, you know, when you watch the other fights with Pacquiao, you can always make an argument either way. You could, you know, whichever side of the fence you're on, you might say, oh, Pacquiao did win that. It wasn't a draw. Or, you know, oh, Manuel Marquez won all of them. There's no denying that the pinnacle of his career was flattening Manny Pacquiao with that tremendous punch. That puts everything beyond doubt. And he seems to be on crest of a new wave at 40 years old, doesn't he, Juan Manuel Marquez?
Yeah, well, both him and Bradley, you know, they've not been that active. You know, it's 4 or 5 fights in 5 years. It's sort of 6 fights in 7 years. So they've not, you know, even though they have had periods of intense action, they've been fairly relaxed lately. And especially Marquez, and that fight wasn't particularly hard. He bulked up, he changed shape. There was all sorts of stories about how he had changed shape, but he managed to pass all of the tests that he needed to take. Some people suggested he should have taken some slightly more advanced tests, but hey-ho, it wasn't in the contract. He didn't have to do it. He took care of Pacquiao, a worn-out shot, and basically a disillusioned Pacquiao. We may see a better one next month when he returns to the ring. It was the perfect end, because I'm one of those guys who happened to think that he could have won all three Marquez of the Pacquiao fights. I thought the last Pacquiao fight, which worked on as part of, I think it was Primetime TV in the UK. I thought it was I didn't really think it was that close, to be honest with you. I thought that he comfortably won the penultimate one before the knockout.
Yeah.
I mean, and that was the one where he said, I'm retiring, this is disgraceful. He also said, I'm retiring after that fight. And of course, what he fancies is a legitimate fight with Mayweather. The last time he fought Mayweather, he was told he had to come in. He was told the fight was going to be made at 144.
Yep.
He'd never boxed above 134 pounds. So he came in at 140, whatever it was, 43. And Mayweather forfeited nearly $500,000 and came in, I think, at 146 or 7.
Right, yeah.
But it was nothing to surrender the money. When you're making 20 million, what's 400,000 in forfeit? So Mayweather was naturally a stone plus heavier. Well, that's not the case now.
No.
He's a big lump now, Marquez. And I'm going to be honest with you, it's quite interesting. People keep looking back to that, which was a boxing masterclass, boring. It was Mayweather at his boring, dullest, safety first, best, okay, by the way. It was where Mayweather becomes Vladimir Klitschko and Vladimir Klitschko becomes Mayweather. But let me tell you, that was then and this would be now. And I've got a sort of sneaky feeling that if Marquez gets past Bradley, he could tread water. And I think next November, he might be Mayweather's second fight of next year. And that would be the fourth fight of the Showtime deal.
That would be interesting at a proper 144, because like you said, he fought Pacquiao about 140. That was contracted at 144, wasn't it, I think?
Yes, it was.
And
yeah.
as you said, he looked huge and still does, doesn't he?
Yeah, see, the bottom line is he wouldn't be bothered, because we know that Floyd can't go above 145, 146.
Yeah.
You know, Floyd, that's what, you know, Floyd said he woke up for the Sol Canelo Alvarez fight at 147, 3 pounds inside the limit. That's Floyd's weight. Now, so it doesn't matter what if Floyd says the fight's made at 152. Floyd is only going to put on cosmetic weight to get to 152. He is comfy now, Marquez, at 145, 146, 147. Bingo. Let's see this fight happen next year. Mm. It would take an almighty shift, because it's rival promoters, people that hate each other, opposite channels. But you know what? There's going to be something like 10 or 12 million guaranteed on the table for one man and 40 guaranteed for the other man. And there's a lot of talk this week about Lennox Lewis coming back for 100 million. Well, these guys, this is the equivalent. You know, if Marquez can get 12 million guaranteed and Floyd can get 40 plus million guaranteed for fighting each other, they'll settle their differences, trust me.
Let's talk about Timothy Bradley. I mean, the odds are intriguing here. 4-5 for Juan Manuel Marquez. The draw's 20-1 and Bradley 11-10, so the slight outsider. Bradley, a lot of people in this country will remember when he came over. What was it, 2008, when he shot Junior Witter?
He did as well.
Yeah, it was a fantastic right hand, wasn't it? That put Witter down. Then since then, he's fought the likes of Kendall Holt, Nate Campbell, Lamont Peterson, Devin Alexander, Joel Casamayor, and won them all apart from the no contest against Campbell. Then he fought Pacquiao in that hotly disputed win that he got. Felt aggrieved after that, because obviously, you know, the flip side of everyone moaning about it was the fact that no one gave him any credit whatsoever. And then he had this almost nightmarish kind of comeback fight.
To prove he could fight.
Yeah, against Ruslan Provodnikov, which was, I mean, if anyone hasn't seen that, go on YouTube and have a look at that one. I mean, that is a fight. He won it, but I mean, he was seconds away from being knocked out in the last round, wasn't he? Where is he now? How good is he? He's never lost a fight. He's been the distance, you know, umpteen times. Those odds look wrong to me. I think Marquez should be a shorter favourite. What do you think, Muncie?
Yeah, I do too, because, you know, there's two names that you never, ever hear Mayweather talk about. One's Tim Bradley and one's Devin Alexander. The two met each other and Tim was winning clearly and it was stopped on a cut, the technical decision, so he managed to get that. And they're clever, they're awkward. Saying that, I thought Manny Pacquiao took it easy on Bradley. I thought he took his foot off the pedal for several rounds. I thought Bradley looked concussed for about 7 or 8 rounds. And when he got the decision, I think it was a knee-jerk reaction to the diabolical decision Pacquiao had received previously over Marquez, to be honest. But that's neither here nor there. As you said, quite correctly, Tim Bradley never got the credit for what he did in that fight, which was push Pacquiao and go the distance. And you know, I thought he lost by a couple of rounds. He ended up getting the decision. Hey-ho, it happens. I just have a feeling that Marquez is fresher. You know, he's as strong. He's slightly taller, if I'm not mistaken. I know he's 40 and it sounds like I shouldn't be saying he's fresher, but I think he is fresher. I think he will win, but I tend to agree with you that the odds are a little bit, they're not as big as they should be, to be perfectly honest with you.
Marquez by stoppage is 11-4, which obviously he stopped Pacquiao. Marquez by decision is 7-4. Bradley by decision is 13-8, and Bradley by stoppage is 13-2. It would be a massive shock if he was to stop Marquez. He's never been stopped before. In his six losses, he's never been stopped. Can Marquez stop Bradley in the same way he stopped Pacquiao? If Bradley's dragged into a bit of a scrap like he was again in his last fight, Marquez could stop him, couldn't he?
No, he can, but I can't see him wanting to fight that way. I mean, the way you beat Marquez is the way Bradley traditionally wins, which is using his brain and not having a tear-up. He fought foolishly. He was hurt early in that fight against Bobnik. I think he was down in about the first... Or not down, but he was gone in the first or the second. I mean, that was a Box Nation show, so I remember we were quite stunned. My gut feeling is that it's quite close. It's quite tentative, it's nip and tuck, and there's not a lot in it. But I just fancied Marquez. I'd be surprised, I'd be stunned if Bradley stops Marquez. I wouldn't be as stunned if Marquez gets in, but I hate to say it. This one is, I think, it's straight down the line. I think Marquez wins on points.
Was Bradley given, what did you think of the decision that he got over Provodnikov, by the way? Did he win the fight?
Yeah, but if you look at the scores, it's all by 1 point, one point and 2 points, and that's absolutely right.
Yeah.
Had there been a score in there that was 6 or 7 points, I would have been upset.
Yeah,
we've had some funny old we've had some funny old score lines both in this country, in Germany, and in America in the last 18 months, and I think there've been some very weird ones. That one was perfectly right. It was tight. You couldn't argue with the win. It could have gone the other way as long as it was tight. I don't mind if, when it's a tight decision, if someone wins by a round or two, as long as the other two or three judges concur. My problem is when you get something the other way, which is what we had with the Burns and Beltran fight recently in Glasgow. As soon as you get 7 and 8 and 9 point shifts on tight fight, that's wrong. That's just wrong. Yeah. Something's gone wrong there, you know?
It's a nice price, to be fair, for Marquez to win on 0.7-4. And if you aren't too keen on that and you're happy with a 4-5 shot, then Marquez just to win the fight. A couple of weeks' time, we'll be back with the Cal Brook night against Vyacheslav Shevchenko. Deontay Wilder versus Nikolai Fyrta, which looks entertaining at the very least. And, of course, Hopkins versus Karo Morat. Look forward to speaking to you.
Probably not entertaining, but it's a legend, so keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, fair play. Bunsy, have a good weekend, and we'll speak to you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Lee.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.